Faithful, hasn't he? Sure has been wonderful to see these altars being used. See God doing business with people and people doing business with God. That's what we come for. Hoping to do something to create an environment and a sanctuary where you can meet with God. That's what church is all about. Way more. Listen, if I don't preach, it hurts my feelings zero. I will gladly step out of the way and let God speak and move and minister to people. That's what we need. If I say something that touches your heart, it'll be gone and fleeting by the day's end. But if God says something to you, it's eternal. And it'll last. It'll last. I hope you've done business with God already, minded the Lord. Amen. Amen. What a blessing. Good to see some more of our people, church family back inside. What a blessing. I think we're rounding the corner to put this awful, awful chapter of history behind us. And I praise the Lord for everybody that's here. I know we still have some outside. Thank you for coming. But again, happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. Turn with me this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you would, I'm not going to keep you long. That's what every preacher says when they start out. I'm not going to keep you long. Still a word from Brother Jackie's announcements. That's all relative, how long you believe long is. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. If you're having trouble finding that, it's right after 1 Timothy. That'll help you. You've been seated a while. Let's stand together. We'll reverence God's word as we read it. We're going to look at two verses this morning, verse 4, verse 5. 2 Timothy 1, verse 4. The Bible says, "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Thank you for standing. You can have a seat. Everybody here probably familiar with this portion of Scripture and have heard it, read it many times. Probably heard it preached on several times. I just want to highlight a few things this morning and deal with a mother's faith. I believe it's one of the most influential things in a human being's life. I believe more influential than a preacher in a person's life. I believe more influential than even a church in a person's life, in a believer or a non-believer's life. A mother and her faith will absolutely impact and influence a human being's life. I can testify personally to that, and we'll say more in just a moment. But look this morning at two of the greatest mothers in all the Word of God. Just God thought it necessary and needful that He include Timothy's mother and grandmother in the Word of God. Boy, what a testimony! What a living testimony. You say, well, they've been dead and gone, and they've been gone thousands of years and hundreds of years, and they have, but their testimony still lives on because they did something that impacted and influenced their child and their grandchild in such a way that faith was passed on from them, on from that grandmother to that mother, and from the mother to her son. And now we have 1 and 2 Timothy and all that God did through this young man's life. And Paul, it caught Paul's attention. And he said, I want to call this to remembrance and highlight the great job, the tremendous, fantastic job your grandmother and your mother did, because what I saw in them, I see in you. And boy, that ought to be every mother's desire. If you have, if it's good, you don't want to see the bad passed along to them, but we do want to pass the good. So Paul's addressing Timothy, and he speaks of Timothy's faith and faithfulness. And he makes mention of his mother and grandmother and the faith and godliness passed down to him. And I don't know this morning where I would be without that little woman right there. And I'm being honest, and this is not in my notes, but this is just by way of personal testimony. I promise you, I wouldn't be here physically. I mean, that's just biology without her. But spiritually, I would not be where I am. I probably wouldn't be saved. Amen. Not for the faith and the prayers and the influence and the godliness she has poured into my life and intervened on my behalf. And boy, I thank the Lord for my mama. Amen. If you don't like her, don't tell me. You will see this preacher lose his religion in a minute. I don't let nobody talk about my mama. Amen. I love my mama, and you should love yours. Amen. But not, I'll say more about her in a minute, but not just my mama, but my mama's mama, my grandma. As he laid out in this text, it wasn't just Timothy's mother, but it was passed on generational, down through the years. And my grandma ain't here, that she's in heaven. Thank the Lord she's in heaven. I'll see her again. And I miss her, but she influenced my life in a major way. I remember some of my fondest memories of my grandma was sitting in her little old block house in that little living room. And every evening she'd get her curlers out, and she'd get set in her little chair. And if she was breathing, she was going to get that little Bible out and read it every day. And she would pray every day. And she wasn't a theological scholar. And probably, I may know more about the Word of God than she did. But she was a faithful, faithful Christian woman. And that matters. I mean, through the years, you see people in and out, up and down. She was just faithful. She was just steady. Stayed with it my whole life and her whole life. And I thank God for my mama and my grandma. And we hear... I'm not trying to be political, but you know this, and when I say it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But it's sad, but we hear a lot about which lives matter in our day and age. And I have my own opinion about that. I believe all lives matter. I do. And I think that's more an opinion. That's just fact. Anybody disagrees with that can be wrong if they want to. But all lives matter. And God in heaven said amen to what I just said. He died not for one color, not for one creed, not for one race. He died for all men. And so according to God and His Word, all lives matter. But as we all celebrating today, I believe mothers' lives, if we was going to put one category of people who matters, I believe mothers matter. I believe mothers matter. I believe we can't make a big enough deal and highlight how important a mother is. I mean that. Just imagine where you would be without your mama. Oh, I can't imagine. I can say without a doubt this morning, my mama matters. She made a difference in my life and in my heart. My mama's faith made a difference in me. And if you have a mother who loved God and loves God, boy, you ought to thank God for that. You ought to thank. And if you are a mother, you should be doing everything in your power to further your faith that you could pass it on to your children. Because way past the point when money is gone and money means nothing, houses and lands are gone, your faith can carry on. And that's the most. Important thing you could ever pass along to your children. I'm sure Timothy's mama fed him, clothed him. I'm sure his grandma done some of the same, housed him, but left him some money when they passed. But none of that caught God's attention. None of that said, God, we may need to put that in the Bible. No, God said there's one thing that stood out to me, head and shoulders above everything else that you've done in life. And that was you was a faithful mother, a godly grandmother, and you passed that on to your children. Amen. I think that's as good of a testimony as anybody can have. What's more important? I've thought about this as being a preacher. If I travel around and preach in churches all over the country, and I have, and And I see masses and multitudes of people saved. And I have. By the grace of God, I've got to witness that, Brother Jeff. It's been wonderful. I've seen families restored and children that were out in the far country come home. And I've got to see and witness a lot of good things that God has done. But if I gain all that and get to witness all of that and lose my own children, what have I gained? If I see homes put back together and lose my own, what good was it? I'm saying way more than any success you could ever rack up, way more than any bank account you could ever blow the top out of, way more than any career or any educational path your own, your family and what you can gather and glean and give to them, that matters more.
Amen.
Than anything else you can do in life. And so I believe they were successful in their journey. A study was done years ago. I thought this was interesting. I've heard mothers say this. Well, don't think much of me. I'm just a stay-at-home mom. Listen to this. A study was done concerning how much mothers would earn if they were paid for the jobs that they'd done in the home. Think about it. She's a doctor, a psychologist, a teacher, a sewer, a seamstress, a chef, a counselor, and a million other things, and holds a million other titles there in the home. And by their calculations, when this study was done, a mother, and this has been years ago, the price would be far higher, and if they counted everything, it'd be far higher, but the way they calculated it, a stay-at-home mom would earn $117,000 a year. I think it's far above that. I believe a mama that's in the home and raising her children and being the keeper of her home, I believe that position and that job is priceless. I think you can't put a number and a price tag on that. Like the old saying goes, man works from sun till sun, but a woman's work is never done. It's estimated that a mother has invested over 18,000 hours in her child at the age of 18 years old. 18,000 hours. That breaks down to 1,000 hours a year in a child. 83 hours a month. 19 hours a week. 2.7 hours a day. Daddy, we got work to do. And I was raised by a mama, and I'll gladly take the title, I'm a mama's boy. And I live with the mother of my children, and I watch her and get tired watching her and all that she does. I don't see how women do it. Mothers, they have like the Energizer Bunny. They just never stop. And listen, one child's father pulled the wedding photo album down to show the child about how their family came together. And when they got to the picture of the wedding, the little child responded, "Is that when mommy came to work for us?" Yeah, makes sense. One little boy asked his mama, said, "Mama, I want you to sleep with me tonight." And she explained to him she had to sleep with daddy. And he looked toward his daddy and said, "Sissy." A mother's faith makes the difference. I believe that. And don't just take my word for it. Listen to some of these names I'm about to read you that you will recognize and know well. Thomas Edison, you ever heard of him? He said, "My mother believed in me at a critical time in my life, and all that I discovered, accomplished, and achieved, I owe to my mother." John Quincy Adams, former president, "All that I am, my mother made me." Abraham Lincoln, his mother died when he was 8 years old, very early age. And she called him to her bedside while she was dying and told him, "Abe, you stick with your daddy. You go to church and you live right." And later Abraham Lincoln penned the words and said, "I never got away from or forgot about what my mother instilled in my ears when I was only 8 years old." And Dale Moody, the great preacher, said, close to death, "All that I have accomplished I owe to my mother." You see a theme? These great men are pointing their success at their mother. Napoleon Bonaparte said this, What is the greatest need? When asked, what is the greatest need in France? He quickly replied, mothers. He could have went on and on and talked about how they needed a great military or how they needed to make the economy rise and grow. But he said the greatest need in France is mothers. I'd have to agree with that. James Madison, 1751, left fatherless, was entirely left solely to his mother to raise him. He said, I accredit all that I am to the raising I received from my mother. Andrew Jackson, a military man, 7th president we had, great military mind, said, the memory of my mother and her teaching is the greatest capital I ever received. And it was upon that capital that I became the man that I am today. All these great men, when asked what helped you become who you are, they bypassed every college experience, every life experience, and they ran all the way back to that mother who taught them and reared them early on through life. Ronald Reagan said, all that I have ever learned about prayer, I learned from my mother. The old saying goes, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Well, I believe that. In the Word of God, they are many, many godly men. I've been talking about some great men, but in the Word of God, there's some godly men that you are very aware of and you will know right off the bat. But I want to say behind every good and godly man, there is a mama. Look in the Word of God at the pattern. Behind Isaac, you have Sarah. Behind Jacob, you had Rebekah. Behind Joseph, you had Rachel. And behind Moses, you had Jochebed. Behind Samuel, you had Hannah. Behind Jesus, well, there was Mary. Behind John the Baptist was Elizabeth, Timothy, Eunice. And behind Eunice was Lois. And so in the world, in the Word of God, it's clear mothers matter. They absolutely matter. Listen to this verse in Ezekiel 16:44. Oh, I'm going to turn my attention to mothers. I've been talking about mothers, but I want every mother to listen to this verse. This is probably as challenging and charging and convicting of a verse as I have tried. It's short, it's small, but it's so true. It is just so true. Listen to this verse. As the mother is, so is the daughter. What does that mean? That means they're going to turn into you. I already see it in my children. They absolutely are turning into their mother. I would joke and say, God help them, but I'm thankful for that. If y'all can turn out just like her, I will applaud and raise my hands to heaven and say, praise the Lord, you have succeeded. I mean that. That's the greatest woman I've ever known. And God give her to y'all for a mother. You're blessed. Amen. And mama, hey, mothers, listen. Are you happy if your children was to turn into you? Are you happy with that? Because whether you are or not, they are going to. What you are today is who they will be tomorrow. Right. And so if you don't like that, and if you don't want that for them, if you want something better for them, then be a better you today. Change it now because time is fleeting. If there's anything about parenting I'm learning, the farther I go, the faster it gets. Time is just moving on. And it's like you blink and they are grown. So saying, I'm going to get a New Year's resolution next year and turn into the mother I want to become, you better ditch that mentality. Amen. You know what I've learned? You'll become who you want to be when you're ready to do it now. That stuff about I'm going to go on a diet next month don't never happen. I'm going to change my way of living next week. No, if you're not ready to do it now, you're not ready to do it. And it usually won't get done. So I would take that one verse and heed it, mamas and daddies. The old Spanish proverb says an ounce of motherhood is good, is worth a pound of clergy. An ounce of motherhood is worth a pound of clergy or preachers. I get so many mamas call me and daddies and grandmas and say, "Oh, little Susie's in a mess. Oh, if you only knew how bad it has got. If you only knew, if you could only see the track marks in her arm. If you only knew how bad on Skid Row she was. If you only knew how far she had run." And then there's little Johnny, or you fill in the blank, and parents are broken over their children when they lived a life that their children watched them and they led them to that place and just thought it would never happen to them. I promise you, they will become who you are. You think you can hide it? Listen, they see who you are. They live with you. And you can fool a lot of people, but I'm going to tell you who you can't fool is your children. That's the truth. You don't just go to church with your youngins. You go home with them. And oh, they may see that little hand wave in church and hear you say, "Amen." And then they hear you screaming like a banshee rooster when you get home. Fighting and fussing and carry on. And they see that hypocritical life. And they see us say one thing at church and another in the world, and one act one way at church around the brethren, and a completely different person somewhere else. But children need something real, something genuine. If they're going to make it, listen, if there's ever been a time we needed some mamas to step up and be a real Christian mama, a woman of faith, a mother who could pour that into their children, it's in this day and hour. Children almost don't have a shot. Yeah, right. Leave the almost out. Children don't have a shot in this society, in this day and age, apart from the Word of God and the things of God. God is the Lord is the only thing that you can do for give to your children in this day and hour that's going to keep them safe. And that ain't a sure promise. I was raised in church. Amen. I was raised around the things of God. And went years and years and years and never... The Bible says if we'll train up a child in the way they should go, when they're old, they won't depart from it. It don't say when they're young, they won't. But the best shot we have is to have mamas who in the home, who would take that little Spanish proverb that an ounce of motherhood is worth a pound of clergy. In other words, a mama can do way more in a child's life with a little than a preacher can fix in years. That's the truth. Quickly, goodness gracious. One preacher was asked, "How many preachers are in your family?" He responded, "Four." And they said, "Well, which one's the best?" He said, "My mama." That's true. I'm going to fly through these. Number one, Eunice was saved, redeemed, regenerated. Her faith, she had a regenerated faith. The Bible said in Acts 16:1, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, a son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek." I'm going to say more about that father in just a minute. But right there in this verse, talking about Timothy's mama, and the Bible said, so this ain't left up to us wondering. The Bible said she believed. She was regenerated. She was saved. A woman of faith. And mama, the greatest thing you can give your child in this world is for them to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved, that you have been regenerated, born again, more than religious, regenerated, born again, saved. That's the greatest gift you can give a child. Amen. To know that my mama's saved, I trade the world for that promise. I'm sincere. That means I'll spend eternity with her. The greatest thing you can give your child, mama, is for them to know, not question, but to know that you're saved. That you've been born again. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 is our text. "But continue thou the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Mothers can give their children a lot of things, but there is no way a mother can give a child what they really need. Listen, until you get saved. A lost mama don't really know how to love like a saved mama does. A lost man, a lost daddy don't know how to love like a saved daddy does. Because until you have been born again and regenerated, you don't know what love is. And so I say to every mother, if you're not saved, let today be the day that you are able to give, receive the greatest gift, and then in return give the greatest gift to your child. A regenerated faith, she had a resolved faith. Give me three or four minutes and we'll be done. You ain't got church this evening, so goodness. Sit back in your pew and relax a minute. We'll be done in about 5 or 10 minutes tops. Then you got all day. Smile. A regenerated faith, number two, a resolved faith, Acts 16:1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and it goes on as we just read. And the last part of that verse says, but his father, talking about Timothy, had a regenerated mother, had a saved mama, a faithful, godly mama. But the Bible says, but his father contrasted that. But his father was a Greek. You know what I believe God's saying there? Timothy had a godly mama, a woman of faith, a mother of faith. But everything wasn't okay at home. They had two competing and completely opposite faiths. One was an intellectual. One was from Greek. And one loved the Lord. But it wasn't all harmony at home. And so that required his mama to be a woman of resolve and to have her a resolve in her faith. Because it's a hard thing when you got a wife or a husband that don't believe like you. Speaking of which, you should not marry somebody that don't believe right. Amen. That ought to go without saying, but it don't. You'd be amazed at the people who get themselves in a mess messing with people who don't believe right. Amen. Say, oh, I'll win them over after we date the fourth or fifth time. You lost your cotton-picking mind. You are in for a trouble. Danger. It's dangerous ahead for you. You better listen. Hey, and I'm saying she had to have resolve. She had to had her mind made up that my faith is what matters most to me. And whatever I do, whatever goes on, I'm going to do my best to take what I have, the right faith, and give it to my child. And it took her to have a backbone to do that. Having a husband that didn't believe that way. Listen, Timothy's father was probably not saved. He was a Greek. And that speaks of the resolve Eunice had because with problems at home and with a divided home, having to do it all alone, she was resolved to pass her faith to her son. I know there's some mamas here today, and you either are doing it alone. I know some mothers here today are doing it all on their own. And that's a hard row to hoe. But again, I thank the Lord for a woman with resolve. My mama did that for a long time in her life, all on her own. Three boys, all by herself for a long time. She could have quit and folded the towel and said, but she had resolve. She had resolve in her faith, and she was willing to do what it took to make sure that faith got to me. And the same is true about this woman. She said, I have resolve to keep going even when the men quit. You know, I've noticed when I do preach out, Brother Jackie, I'm sure you, David, I'm sure y'all have seen this. You go to other churches, it's amazing how many women, the ratio women to men. It'll be 2/3 women to 1/3 men in most churches. That's a fact. Reckon why that is. I believe because there's some women who have a resolve to say, by the grace of God, come what may. My children need this faith. I'm going to live for Jesus. I love Jesus. And whether the men stand or sit, they come and they're faithful. It's true in the Word of God. That ain't some new phenomenon. Look, in the Word of God, it was a woman, Jesus' mother, who stood at the foot of the cross when the other men ran. It was a woman that was at the tomb. the men were hiding and had to be told by a woman that Jesus was alive. It was men who would give up on me when I was going astray. Hey, listen, there was a lot of men that I know in my life that loved me, but they washed their hands and said, I'm done with you. Yes. Not my mama, not my wife, not many other faithful women who were resolved to stick it out and go the long haul and come what may, do whatever it took to see that their faith got passed to me. And in doing so, from me to my children. And it goes on and on. Well, I thank God for women of resolve who don't quit when it gets hard. Yes. Life ain't always easy. Yeah. Amen. If you quit every time it gets hard, you won't do much in life. Right. You can take that to the bank. Amen. What Job say? Man is a few days and full of trouble. Oh, yeah. As a spark fly upward. I mean, it's going to happen. You just might as well bank on it. Resolve in your heart, I'm going to, by the grace of God, I'm going to be a mama who's going to not quit and make sure my faith gets to my children. Amen. She had a regenerated faith, a resolved faith, a replicated faith. She said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. It replicated. It continued. Let me ask you, and I'm going to move on from this. Will your faith end with you? Will you be the stop sign and the stoplight in your life that it was passed down to you but not through you? What a tragedy. What a tragedy. So not only was it a regenerated faith and a resolved faith, a replicated faith, but finally, it was a rewarded faith. Mamas, I know, because I ain't one. I've been told a bunch of times this morning, Happy Mother's Day, and I smile and say, I ain't one. I ain't. But I live with one. I grew up with one. I live with one. And I know it gets hard and hectic. You talking about hectic? Oh, I know something about hectic. One, two, three, four. Oh, y'all blonde-headed, y'all run together. I took my glass off, I couldn't see. A Sunday morning, and four long heads need to get in the shower and have curling irons and blow torches, or not torches, blow dryers. And I'm on a boy, I'm blow torch, blow hair dryers and makeup going every which way. All before 9:45, Sunday school. Yeah, y'all know why. See, when I get up real early and go. But I'm saying, if that was all on me to make sure if something happened to her, y'all would see how ugly these girls could get in a hurry. No makeup. No, I mean, y'all think the power went out at my house. I don't know how to do all that. And I don't know how she gets it all done. I would need 48 hours in a day to get one of them done. I don't know how she does and cooks and cleans and works and teaches and as a pastor's wife and everything that they do. I don't see how they do it. But they do. And you mamas know what you do. And I want to say, you don't get it much, so take it while it's coming. Thank you. I'm grateful for you. And as hard as it gets and as hectic and crazy and difficult, know this, it can be the most rewarding thing in your life. I believe that. Every time she would listen to Timothy preach or pray or practice his faith, I believe something welled up on the inside of her. And she thought, I may have not got everything right in life, but oh, how rewarding to see my boy stand and proclaim the Word of God and pray in the power of the Holy Ghost and to preach the Word of God. Oh, yeah, that was rewarding to her. Yeah. How rewarding it must have been for Eunice to watch her prayers being answered when Timothy got born again. Oh, I know as a daddy, some of the greatest days of my life was when one of my children got saved. What better? What better than to see your child repent of their sin, tears in their eyes, and they look toward heaven and call on the Lord Jesus to save them. Which in doing secures them. It saves them, but it secures their soul for eternity. What greater can there be? I got most of my children a picture of them when they were saved, or like moments after they were saved, pictures of them being baptized. And I was doing most of that and involved in almost all of that. And I can't, Brother Ned, I can't think of anything more rewarding.
Amen.
I love when your children get saved. It was a blessing to see you get saved. Amen. In revival, and some others, three or four others in our church got saved. All teenagers. It was wonderful. It was great. But I ain't gonna lie to you, it didn't hold a candle to them my own get saved. And I could be all dignified and spiritual and say, oh, I loved it as much as when yours got saved. No, I didn't. I loved it more when mine got saved. Because I'm a human being. I'm a daddy too. I'm more than a preacher. I'm a daddy. And I want yours to get saved, and I pray for yours to get saved, and I preach and sweat and spit and do everything else I can to get yours saved. But Josh, I'd be crazy. I loved it when yours got saved, when you got saved. That was awesome. I almost got to be part of that. Remember that van ride we had to Greenwood? We talked about that all the way down there. And you wasn't quite ready, but then my mama got to lead you to the Lord right after that. It was awesome. It was great. But I still got happier when my girl got saved. But I bet you got happier when your boy got saved. And that's how it's supposed to be. Jim, I remember when you and Stephanie got saved. It wasn't long after that Walker got saved. What's rewarding in it? Ain't nothing better. Ain't nothing better than see your children saved, secure, ready for heaven, sins forgiven. I'm sure Timothy's mama thought, yeah, it's been long, it's been hard, but it sure has been worth it to be a mama. She propelled his faith, she practiced his faith, protected his faith, projected his faith as he preached his faith, and published his faith. She probably felt like the most rewarded mother in the world. It's been said, I close with this statement, a father is the head of the home. That's biblical. That's true. That's right. Whether you agree with it or not, that's God's way. It's God's standard and format. So the father is the head of the home. The children are the hope of the home. But the mother is the heart of a home. And boy, that's so true. You can have all the right thinking and all the aspirations for the future, but you remove a mother and there's no life, there's no heart in the home. I thank God for mothers. Let's stand together this morning. Our Father, we come to you again this morning, this afternoon. We thank you from the depths of our heart, God, for mothers in general, but Lord, I want to say thank you for my mama, Lord, for the mother you gave me, Lord, the greatest that I know. Lord, I pray you bless her, encourage and strengthen her today. And God, for the mother of my children, Lord, I pray you to encourage and help and strengthen her. Thank you for her. And God, for every mother, I pray you'd challenge every mother's heart this morning. Challenge us, Lord, all, God, these difficult, hard days, Lord, to see there is a reward, God, there is a reason, there's a blessing, there's strength, Lord God, to be had. Lord, may every mother pass on their faith to their child. Strengthen you people this morning, God. If there's anybody lost here today, I pray you'd help and bless and touch them, save them. If there's a child that's erring and astray, I pray you'd draw them. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to give a moment. You can come to this altar if you need it. If we can help you in any way, we'll be honored to. Amen. Yeah. All right, you can look this way this morning. Thank you for coming.